May it please the court, I am Jeff Springer, registration number 6793, appearing on behalf of the petitioner appellant, Julie Noss. Regrettably, I'd like to point out a typographical error of some significance in our brief. I just noticed it this weekend. It's at page 21 at the bottom, last line. We talk about these waterfall provisions not having been disclosed by the husband, and we say at the end, which wife knew were of significant value. We meant to say which husband knew were.
Where are you again, counsel?
Page 21, the very last line.
Opening brief, Jeff?
Yes, I'm sorry. Opening brief.
Okay.
Thank you. This appeal presents the legal question of whether or not, under Rule 16.2, a spouse has a duty to investigate the disclosures made by her spouse. And this is under the new Rule 16.2. And understanding you're familiar with the facts, I want to briefly put this in context. The parties here were married in 1987. Husband had an MBA from Harvard. Wife was a homemaker. Husband in the marriage formed these complicated LLCs that owned commercial real estate, real property, and over time acquired a number of these, and in dispute here are seven commercial real properties. Parties file for divorce after the change in Rule 16.2. They actually file in 2007. And during the course of the divorce, husband comes to wife and says, here's a bunch of operating agreements for these LLCs. It's going to be expensive to value the LLCs. There are usually discounts associated with valuation. Here's a spreadsheet I've made, that's Exhibit 3, in which I've listed the square footage, each of the seven entities, what we paid for them, rental rates, and what they're worth, what our interest is worth today. And here's a range, low and high range. And he says to the wife, it's uncontroverted, that we'll use the high range, we'll divide it. She does it. She gets a roughly $1 million credit. They get divorced in August of 07. February of 08, she gets a bank statement that comes in the mail for husband, opens it up. There's a deposit, a wire transfer, $2 million. So she does investigation at that point and finds out that on one of these seven entities, he receives $2 million. More investigation reveals that for these seven entities, and they look at four of them, there are provisions in these LLCs that she did not read, and it's uncontroverted she didn't read them, that provide for an increase in percentage payment on the sale of the property. So that instead of simply the stated percentage of ownership, if it sells for a higher amount of money, it increases the amount of money that the parties would receive.
But that could vary, is that not right?
Yes.
I mean, depending upon the market conditions, the number of vacancies, those kinds of things?
It really very depend in this the context of this case, it depends on the price you pick. So using the husband's values, just taking his values, and he had a range, when you plug in this provision, instead of the value being 1.7 to 2 million in his range, or 1.1 to 1.7 in his range, it jumps up to 10 million to 17 million. So if you plug in, just pick a price, if you say, hey, the fair market value of this property is 35 million, instead of his value being 100,000 or 800,000, it became 10 times that.
I was going to say that how that's calculated, though, was all included in what was provided, is it not?
No. That's the heart of the matter here.
Let me ask you. Were the disclosed values, market values of the entities, reasonably correct?
We don't dispute that.
If he said the property was worth $1 million, $200,000. It sold for about that. I mean, there's one that sold. And so his estimate of the fair market value of the entity or property was reasonably, was within reason.
We certainly, we don't know that, but we don't question that.
Okay. You have these waterfall provisions, and this is the first time I've ever encountered them, so let me ask one question about them. Did he indicate where he was in the waterfall provision with respect to each of these assets? In other words, I understand that there's five steps or something, and when you get to the fifth step, the balloon goes up and it becomes much better for him. And if he was at step five on these entities, it would have been important to know.
Actually, each step increases the amount they would get. So even step one or two increases the amount they get. What he did in his exhibit three was he listed and he said, for this property, it's worth, let's say, $1 million. That's what we could sell. Well, actually, he'd say we could sell the property for $35 million. Our share is $1 million. Well, in fact, their share wasn't $1 million. It would only be $1 million based on percentage of ownership. It would actually be $2 million or $10 million, depending where you were on this waterfall. And the problem with the Exhibit 3, there's no mention of a waterfall provision, and there's no calculation of a waterfall percentage.
Or is there any information to tell you where he is or could be on that?
Not on that sheet. Now, what you could do is take that sheet. I mean, we concede, candidly, that Wife could have gone in, opened up the operating agreements, read through them, found the waterfall provision, and with an expert, calculated that in fact, instead of these properties being worth, you know, 1 to 2 million, that she could have concluded they were worth 10 to 20 million. She could have done that.
With the information she had?
With the information he gave.
Okay.
She did give enough information that if you found the waterfall provision and used it to calculate, you would conclude it's not really worth just 1 to 2 million, it's worth 10 to 17 million. And we submit that Rule 16.2 doesn't require her to go hunting through the documents. That's the whole point under 16.2E1, where we want the parties to be candid. What he should have done, and what the parties, I think, are expected to do, is to say, hey, there is a waterfall provision. I'll either calculate it in for you, and then you'll see the values are really 10 to 17 million, or I'm not going to calculate it in, but you can go look for it, and here, there's the waterfall provision, and it's in the operating agreement.
But it's true, is it not, that as he sat there looking at her, the market value of his interest was about what he put into it or about his percentage of the current market value?
I think the distinction to be made...
If he sold it.
Well, the distinction to be made is the market value of the real estate is that, but the market value of, or the value of the interest is different. And that's the key here.
I understand that, but if he were to sell his interest, if he were to say, I'm going to sell my LLC to you.
Okay.
Okay. You would buy it at his percentage of the value of the property.
No.
Because you wouldn't have the waterfall provision.
No, you would. In other words, if he sold his interest, his ownership interest with the all the accoutrements of ownership, namely that they get an internal rate of return and how much it's worth, he would get the amount of money for the property as well as the amount of money that you'd calculate under the waterfall provision.
Sale to a third party? That would be a third party would buy that?
Well, in fact, in this case, the property sold and he ended up getting $2 million on a property he'd valued his interest at $200,000.
I understand that, but what I'm trying to say is he owns an LLC that has a percentage interest in the property.
Yes.
He has an operating agreement that has a waterfall provision.
Yes.
He wants to get out now. Property hasn't sold. Property isn't on the market. We don't know if it's ever going to be on the market. He wants out. He sells his interest. What is that interest worth?
Well, the interest would be worth, if the buyer can succeed to his right to get the waterfall, it's going to be worth the amount of money, the fair market value of the the real estate and how you calculate the increase in value is going to be from the waterfall. That's what you pay for it.
Your expert testimony to that effect?
No. The expert testimony says, if this property sold, here's what he gets. And here's the value of his interest. And both experts agreed to that.
I understand that, but we're trying to figure out what the asset is worth in the divorce.
I would respect that.
And so then the question becomes, and that becomes its fair market value at the time of the property division. And you're telling me, although there's apparently no evidence in the record to support it, that he could sell that interest with the benefit of the waterfall.
Certainly. If somebody bought his interest, they would get, if they succeeded to his interest in the LLC, they'd get the waterfall. And respectfully, I would submit to the court that the value of his interest is the value. It's what amount of money he could get that day on sale. And so if they sold the property...
You just added a wrinkle that I'm not ready to go with. If they sold the property, that's the wrinkle you're adding, okay? That I'm not sure is valid in determining the value of the property as of the date of the hearing.
Well, certainly, if they didn't sell the property, but somebody could buy his interest, understanding they'd get the waterfall, then it'd be worth the same. May I reserve the balance of my time?
You certainly may.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Court, please. Gary Polidori. My registration number is 4166. You know, one of the problems with this case is, what are the duties and the responsibilities under this new rule? And we've only got one case that kind of leads, that helps us, helps you, and that's, I think it's Shelp is how you pronounce it, but I'm not exactly sure of the pronunciation. And I think the question is, first of all, what's the duty of Mr. Noss in this particular case? With what he's got when he goes. And I disagree with some of the facts that, as represented by Mr. Springer. He gives all of the documents to her at a later time. She asks him for a value, and that's what's represented by that exhibit number 3, and I think that's important for the court to look at. And clearly at the end it says, estimated value. And when he talks with her, and there's a finding by the court, by the magistrate that supports this, he talked to her about the waterfall provisions. And his indication from himself on how he deals with that, from his partner, and from Mr. Cook, who also testified in this case, is that until there's a sale, the value of this waterfall provision is worth zero, not anything else. So that's the question is then, and they argue in their briefs of whether this is a question of law and whether the court put a duty on Mrs. Noss to value this. I submit that the duty is on Mr. Noss to give all of the facts and all of the documents to support that. Now, if there was a fact that he had a sale lingering on this, and he had an offer for $25 million for $25, I think he has a duty to disclose that. But that's not the case. The property is not on the market. In fact, the property is on the market one day in May, that was before this, and it was pulled off right away because there were so many problems with the building that they didn't know about because of the management company that they had. So then the question is what does Mrs. Noss do with this information? Because Mr. Noss has satisfied his duty under the rule, and it's this rule that they've brought this case under. We have under 16.2G all the stuff with regard to the experts. Does that mean Mrs. Noss has to hire an expert? Absolutely not. She doesn't have to hire an expert. So what does she do when she's got this value? She can look at it and accept the value that he placed on it, at estimated value, or she can get her expert that her attorney says, get this expert. I don't trust my mother in a divorce case. Go get an expert. And you know, everybody knows about divorce cases and blah, blah, blah. She chooses, for various reasons, not to hire an expert. She's not listening to her lawyer. She's listening to her friend, Mr. Rooney. And there is an exhibit, and I think it's Exhibit M, and it's referenced in the magistrate's order, that she said, I'm going, Mrs. Noss, to take the high value that you put on that. That wasn't an offer by Mr. Noss. In fact, the correspondence and the evidence is to the contrary. She says, I will take this because you're going to get the benefit of the upside on these, if there's any upside on these, the sale of these properties. The court found the fact that, and this is the court's words, her not knowing about the, saying she doesn't know about the waterfall provisions is nonsensical. That's the court's ruling. And the court's, the trier of fact and the credibility of the witness and all that type of stuff. She's hiding behind her expert. And then if you look at the separation agreement itself, separation agreement has many provisions in there. The parties are relying upon estimated values. The parties have the opportunity to hire an expert. In fact, Mr. Noss, upon request, not court order, gave her $10,000 to hire whoever she wanted to hire. He didn't tell her who to hire. And in the exhibits, it says...
Mr. Paul Dory, let me just stop you a minute. During the marriage, wasn't there a payoff on a waterfall provision?
05.
It was an 05.
Over $3 million.
Okay.
And he discussed it with her, and that's part of, I think, what the magistrate relied on, Your Honor. So she says, I will take the upside with regard to this. Now, the testimony kind of wiggles on this. Is it the upside on the waterfall? Is the upside because stuff is increasing at this point? I don't know. But the court chose, I think, to believe that she had every opportunity and knew that there could be more money coming from this. So she chose the high point in this and took all the cash, left him with the properties that, who knows. But I think Mr. Foster, in reference to a question you asked of Mr. Springer about the value of this, if he got rid of it, Mr. Foster, who was his partner, says, until there's a sale on these waterfall provisions, it is worth zero. I wouldn't pay him, if I were to buy him out, I would buy him on basically, I think he said, the equity in that, or maybe the value, I don't remember. But the value of the waterfall provisions were absolutely zero.
Which also, and that is why?
Because it wasn't a sale. It's so speculative. And if you looked at these values and these properties now, I mean, this is an evidence, but if you look at the values now while you look at sale, because everything is tanked at this point, you don't know what the value is going to be. So you have to look at a sale, and that's when these things trigger. And there's five steps, and each one of them requires something different. And I agree with Mr. Springer. They increase as you go down the line. And can I explain these things to you? I'm not an accountant, and no, I can't explain it. But it is complicated. But she had the information, and that's the duty that Mr. Noss had. I think it's a question of fact. I don't think it's a question of law. Did he give all the information necessary for her to make, have a, this isn't in the rule, but it's an informed decision on what she can do, and I think the answer to that is absolutely yes. Her own expert, and I had to squeeze it out in examination, said, yeah, she had all the information for me to do all this stuff. As a matter of fact, when they filed their motion, there hadn't been any supplemental discovery done, when they filed their motion to reopen this case, they attach, at one point in those motions, Mr. Six's valuation. He had no more information than what Mr. Noss had given to Mrs. Noss, I think in June or July of 2007. You have any questions? Otherwise, I think I've said what I need to say.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
This is really the needle in the haystack, though, situation, which is exactly what Rule 16.2 was calculated to avoid. Mrs. Noss testified she has no clue what a waterfall provision is. She didn't know anything about a waterfall provision.
If she'd read it, she wouldn't have understood it.
She wouldn't have understood it anyway, but candidly, we wouldn't be here if he had said, hey, not put a value. If he'd have said, you calculate the value. Here's what the square footage is. Here's how many tenants we have, et cetera.
No value.
Mr. Springer, she knew they were worth something because as in 05, they were still married and she received some money into the household. Is that not right?
Well, we don't agree with that. Her testimony was, I've never heard of a waterfall provision. I wouldn't know what they meant.
Didn't the magistrate discredit that?
Well, the magistrate found that money was received in 05.
A substantial amount of money.
And in
part, and she knew there was money.
And in part due to a waterfall provision. But this Exhibit 3 doesn't say the waterfall provision is not included in the calculation. It doesn't say that there's a waterfall provision for the other seven properties. The only way to find out that there's a waterfall provision in the other seven properties is to go through the operating agreements. And the problem here is that this is actually, I think, a more compelling case than you might otherwise have under Rule 16.2, because what he says to her is, it's going to be expensive, and this is uncontroverted, he admits this, it's going to be expensive to value these, there's usually a discount, here's my values. That's calculated to get her not to go look through the haystack to find the needle, which is the waterfall.
He agreed to pay for an appraiser.
He did. Her lawyer requested that they pay for experts. He agreed to pay for an expert, and then based on the representations that he makes, it's going to cost a bunch of money, take time, and you're going to have discounts. She does what I think spouses do in a fiduciary relationship. She believed him and said, all right, I'll just take your values. That's what 16.
But she didn't believe him, go get an expert.
Well, she didn't get an expert.
I know.
Because she relied on the disclosures, which is, I think, what 16.2 is calculated to achieve. Under the old rule, you would have had a duty to investigate. She did relax her guard here. She didn't hire the expert. She didn't use the $10,000 because she relied on the disclosures. And there's no question that the disclosures don't list the waterfall provision. They don't calculate it in. They don't disclose it's not being calculated in.
Isn't the value of the waterfall provision absent a sale speculative?
I would submit not, because if you pick a value, if you say the fair market value of the property is X, and therefore you can calculate, if you have a 50% ownership interest, you could say your ownership interest is worth 50% of X, the waterfall provision is similarly calculable based solely on the dollar amount. You don't have to know any other fact. You don't have to know anything about how many tenants are in the building, anything else. It just increases your return. That's the reason it's not speculative. It's just like instead of owning 50%, when the value goes up, you own 55%. The value goes up higher, you own 60%. It's easily.
You own a higher percentage of a growing number.
Basically. That's essentially how it works. I mean, I'm simplifying it, but that's how it does work. You get a greater return on your money the more the value of the property. So if it's sold for X dollars, you get a percentage. If it's sold for X plus $100, you get a higher percentage. And you can calculate it just like you could calculate your ownership.
And that's because the disclosure had his estimate of the current market value.
That's correct. And I do concede she could have, as the expert after the fact did, gone through, found the provision, with the provision calculated that instead of being worth $1 million, it was worth $10 million.
Did his disclosure represent what percentage of the interest he owned?
Yes.
And that was based on
the ownership interest in the LLC.
So, but he typically, and I'm on my time, so don't worry about it. He typically paid 10%. As I recall the numbers, his contribution to the purchase was about 10%. So he had a 10% equity in the building. Did he disclose that he had a 10% interest?
Yeah, I can't recall if it's specifically disclosed, but we don't dispute that.
Well, my concern is if he says we've invested $157,000, we own a 10% interest, the building is worth this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if he says we own 10% interest when in fact he owns a 60% interest, There's a problem.
Exactly. That's what we contend happened here. In other words, this is not, this waterfall provision simply increases what you get, and that was not disclosed.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
We thank both counsel for their arguments and briefs. It's certainly an interesting case. The case will be deemed submitted. A written opinion will issue in due course.